Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. People are often dying, leaving behind estates, bequests and wills for the surviving relatives all to fight over. But what happens to your internet self when you die? Who tells your internet friends that you're dead? What happens to your Facebook photos? And who gets to take over your level 85 elven goblin wizard in the World of Warcraft? We sent Tom Watts along to find out what happens to our digital legacies.
I hope I'm not alone in having a certain fascination with death. You know, that part of you that wonders who'd actually show up at your funeral and how good the speeches would be. And what would be your final funeral song? For the record, the song currently playing in the background is My Front Runner. Shoulder charge, love you, man. But last time I was thinking about this, I was struck with a curious question. What would happen to everything that I've put up on the internet? I'm something of an internet whore. I've got a Facebook page with 473 friends, about 700 pictures, 3 Gmail accounts, 2 TradeMe accounts, 2 bank accounts, a Yahoo account, a Twitter account, 3 abandoned blogs with many angsty adolescent thoughts, unused MySpace and Bebo accounts, and even a forgotten account that I made on NZ Dating, which says my name is Raul Sanchez. But all this information, what would happen to it if I died? I remember watching with a curious fascination over New Year's, as one of my younger brother's friends first disappeared, and was then pronounced dead a few days later. His Facebook profile wasn't private, so I got to watch as his page stopped belonging to him and became something of a memorial belonging to all of his Facebook friends. Ben Hope is one of the contributors to this show, and his experience feels very similar to mine.
So what happened was, at New Year's earlier this year, he was one of the people that was sort of in the one of those unnamed car accidents, and I sort of heard about it and was like, oh, okay, another you know, road fatality that happens over a long weekend. And then sort of on my Facebook wall, there are all these messages popping up going to him saying, you know, oh, rest in peace, man, and say it's not true and all this sort of thing. And I was sort of thinking, oh, that can't be right. And then sort of the next day later, they finally released his name, and I was like, oh, wow. So I went through to his Facebook page, not really a close friend, a person I knew from high school, you know, how you've got those sort of ranges of friends. He was one of those people. Clicked on his page, and it had just turned into this sort of memorial page of just people who probably he hadn't talked to in ages or hadn't talked to him in ages, were just, you know, posts and posts of the old rest in peace and, you know, all the best and we'll see you up there, and that type of sort of slightly awkward internet comment. Quite a few people pouring their heart and soul out, you know, a lot of people still sort of using that as a way to grieve through the process of losing him, I guess. It still updates occasionally. I think it's maybe a cousin of his or something is the one that's updating, or an aunt or something is. There's sort of photos arise and he tags and, you know, sometimes his statuses and things like that, which is a little bit eerie, but they are sort of precursed or set after the fact that it's not from him, obviously it's from their cousin or something like that, because it'd be a bit weird for him to be posting from beyond.
Did you actually scroll back to the moment where he went from being kind of a living person to a dead person?
Yes, I remember it actually, because a friend of his, who's also a friend of mine, had written saying, hey man, awesome hardcore show we went to, because they were hardcore rocker kids type things, awesome hardcore show we went to, we'll do it again next week, or no, when you get back from your trip away. And he had commented underneath that saying, yeah man, I'm down in Hamilton for New Year's, but there's one on the 4th, we'll go to that, it'll be legit. And that never happened.
It's like the moment where, like, your regular, everyday, menial things become incredibly important. Like, your menial things become history.
Yes. The sandwich that you ate and the weekend that you had away and the trips you thought about were all going to forever stay there. And just, you know, whinging about the public bus transport system and all that sort of stuff will forever be there as your sort of, like, unofficial, unabridged memoirs.
In my research for this, I came across a checklist put out earlier this year by the New Zealand Law Society, which had suggestions on what people need to do to look after their digital legacies. This is Chris Moore, who is one of the authors, a partner at Meredith Connell, and head of the New Zealand Law Society's property section.
There are huge numbers now of people who are doing so much of their lives are now online. And then when they die, so many people also haven't thought about it. And you've got, you've got capacity on computers now, growing, probably doubling every couple of years, and certainly the younger the generation, the more that they are doing things online rather than on a paper based system.
Absolutely. I mean, so this is an issue that's a very new issue.
Yeah, very much so. again, you look at it the way it is at the moment. A lot of people aren't thinking about it because many of those who are involved, who are storing information online and their lives, so much of their lives are online, are obviously in a younger generation, and they're not thinking about the sorts of things. What happens on death? But as these, you know, as generations get older, and as more information is stored and there's a need for access to that information, it becomes far more important.
And so, say, hypothetically, I were to come in and ask for a digital legacy, I mean, what would you ask me? What kind of things would we need to kind of be talking about?
Well, I suppose you'd be starting with some pretty open questions, such as what information do you have stored online? And it may be that you've said you've got 700 photos. Well, what do you want done with those photos? It might actually get you thinking, well, there are certain photos I actually don't want my family.
There are certain photos that I don't want my family.
I don't want my family to see these. But there are other. So you might start thinking about, look, I'll have different categories, and there'll be a category of information that you do want your family to see.
I mean, what? So do the various social kind of media networking sites, you know, the Facebooks and the Twitters and those kind of things, do they have like a policy for what happens when people die?
Yeah, yep, they do, and they so many of them have very different policies. So, for example, if you were looking at Twitter, if the account is to be removed, you've got to provide your name, contact information. Relationship to the deceased, the username of the Twitter account, or a link to the profile page, and a link to an obituary or news article.
Right.
So that's Twitter. There are various other ones. They all seem to be variations on a theme, but again, they can be quite strict. I mean, one of the other ones, one to bear in mind, is Yahoo. They'll only share information if required by a court order. And when you sign up with Yahoo, you agree that your Yahoo account is non-transferable and that it will terminate at death. And so, I mean, that's probably one extreme, but a lot of the others will allow you to access some information. But there are a lot of steps that you have to go through.
Absolutely. I mean, so is it possible to actually kind of like, if somebody dies, can you turn their page into a memorial page?
No. Yeah. Well, there was an example of that. Where there was a U.S. soldier who was killed in Afghanistan, and his family wanted to use his photos as a memorial, and the family wasn't allowed access, and they actually had to go to court to get an order to get that material. So I think there is the ability to do that, although whether you can do that on a deceased's account is probably unlikely. I suspect you'd be having to set up a new account for that, but you could certainly access that information. Provided you went through all those steps.
And and finally, do you have one?
No. But lawyers are probably the worst to ask. I think the lawyers are probably notorious for either not having wills or for having the most complicated wills that are the hardest to administer. So, no, I don't. But then again, I don't have a lot of information. I'm one of the older generation, so I don't have that much information that is stored online. So I don't think it would be so much of an issue for my family.
It all kind of feels like considering your digital legacy adds another level of complexity to our lives. So where I'm at now is that I know that I'll die eventually. So just in case that happens before I've filled out one of those digital legacy forms, then I'd like to humbly gift this documentary to you. Aww.
That report by Tom Watts. After the break, British comedian Kerry Marks is back, and Lugo Boa are back with a second album.